There's still time to save big on your landscaping project at Menards. Create stunning patios and strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, get pre-estimates fast with our easy-to-use design and buy program in-store or on Menards.com. Don't miss out. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards. Save big money at
Menards. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
One in the books, two to go. Trap J, Travis Johnson, Joel Blank, Nick Sciarra behind the glass. A good first hour, I would say, boys, as we welcome Jeff Blum into the living room, gave him some lemonade, and let him give us his opinions on the big series with the Angels, on the farewell tour of Bill Brown, on his future with the Astros, which you'll get nowhere else, as he was able to come on this show and give you information that people were clamoring for but did not know and did not know where to find it. But we were able to get him to put it out on the table, and we appreciate that. And Blummer's always welcome in the living room because that was good stuff. And now we kind of turn our attention. We covered some of the news of the NFL. We'll turn our attention to the Texans, and we'll get into that because we're going to have some guests coming up. Trav is obviously going to break it down for us. Adam Rank from NFL Network will join us to give us a unadulterated and very, very objective opinion on the Texans as a team and what he sees happening tonight in the big game in Foxborough. And something we were talking about in the break, Trav, that I guess one leads into the other, but Carolina Panthers today said, based on rumors, that they may move their game because of rioting in Charlotte, have said that they still plan to play that game in Charlotte this weekend. A lot of unrest in the city of Charlotte. A lot of craziness going on in the world today.
Yeah.
And you and I had talked about it prior to the break, and just your thoughts overall on that, and then, you know, how far you want to get into it.
Well, I mean, people say, oh, well, the guy had a gun. The guy, you know, he deserved. But just now, what you're trying to explain to me is that because he had a weapon, he deserved to die by judge, jury, and executioner, when every day as Black citizens, Black Americans, we see you de-escalate and disarm white guys on a regular basis. A regular basis. I literally watched last month as a guy beat up two police officers inside of a diner, reaching for one of their guns, and he still was able to be arrested and handcuffed.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you are in denial about the fact that we have a huge problem in society in the United States today, and you don't watch the news enough to realize that a suspected quote-unquote terrorist, a guy who set numerous bombs off in New York and New Jersey and then pulled out a gun to open fire on police officers...
And have a full shootout,
lived, but a man with his hands over his head in front of his SUV in the middle of a road in Tulsa, Oklahoma, is no longer with us, and you want to believe that we don't have issues in this society in the United States, then that's on you. And it's a huge problem.
Because now what everybody's doing is they're using the word patriotism to cover up for their racism. They're using the word, well, he needs, dog. If you're not listening to the message, if you don't see this, and the first thing you want to do is throw patriotism in my face, then that's a problem. Because guess what? The symbol of the flag, the anthem, is no greater than you or me. You as a human being means more to me than any cloth that has stripes and has stars on it. If you are being not being treated as a human being, if you are being not treated like you are supposed to be treated, as my brother, as you are, then that's a problem for me. And it should
and
be
I've
a
said
problem
this
for
all
me.
Along. You may disagree with the method,
but don't not listen to the message.
Miss the message. That's exactly where I am on that.
And that's the problem. Is right now you got a lot of people that want to protect the Second Amendment right more than they protect the first, of freedom of speech, mm-hmm. of the right to peacefully protest, of the right, like, it's a problem right now. Everybody says, oh, well, you know, the first thing you want to say, you got a Black president. How bad can it be? Oh, so you just say, oh, That's your number one answer.
That's the end all be all.
That's the end all be all. That's what we're at now. Oh, you got a Black president, or it's not. You know what? And then they use the thing is with the athletes. They say, Well, you don't have a problem. You make $1 million a year. You make a few million dollars a year. Where does this problem come with you? You don't have to deal with those type of things. And yes, we do. We have had, at some point or another, all of us have dealt with that, have dealt with the issues of discrimination, of oppression. But yet, at the end of the, we have also seen the other side, because people look at us for what we can do on the field and they say, oh, well.
Well, let me take it a step further, Trav, because it's exactly the point that should be made. Because when you pull up in the nighttime sky at a filling station or an apartment complex or on some road where they may be looking for somebody else,
yeah,
but they see you and they don't know what's in your bank account.
No.
And they don't know anything about you.
No.
And you roll up and you are just casually chilling in your car, you could actually die.
No question.
That's the issue that people aren't seeing.
No question. And everybody says, well, I'm going to tell you what the text line is going to say. Well, anybody can die. If you're doing something wrong, if you're not following instructions, well, if I'm not doing anything right, if I'm not doing anything wrong, why do I have to listen to your commands to make me do something because of the color of my skin? If I've done nothing wrong, if I've done nothing but be black and drive around here, what is the issue? When I'm 15 years old, 16 years old, getting slammed up against a police car with handcuffs on, and I go to all white school, very educated. My parents are educated. My parents are government workers.
That's the thing. Most of the people that are spouting off have no idea, have never been put in a predicament or a situation like that, and can't relate in the slightest, in any sense of the word.
Because they just don't understand. Because
but they also grew up in an environment where they've never experienced it.
They don't understand it. They've never experienced it. And the first thing they want to say is, "Well, I don't see color." Well, guess what? That's the first thing that tells me you have a problem. Because if you see me as a 6'4", 330-pound black man, and you don't say, "Oh, I just see a guy," stop lying. This is who I am. This is what made me who I am, is the color of my skin, the contents of my character, how I was raised. That is what makes me Travis Johnson. So if you don't see what makes me, then you don't see me at all.
Great point. So you can let us know what you think on that and everything else. We definitely don't want to stray too far from the Texans, but that's something that definitely needed to be said and something to be discussed. And I think that's something that we will discuss further as we go further with this show. But that's part of how we keep it real, and we talk about what needs to be talked about on this show. 713-780-ESPN. You can text us and you can call us on that number. You can reach us via Twitter as well, and we are available throughout the show and even after the show. And again, the one thing that I want to finish with that too, Trav, because you made up the point, and I get tired of it from time to time. And we had a whole discussion on this previously on this show. The text line to me is annoying. Because it's again the situation where we get the cowardly keyboard warriors that have so much confidence that they wouldn't say the same things that they would say if they were in the same room with us.
No,
that they do when they can just, for lack of a better term, but they can just fire off their comments and run.
And I bet you $1 to a nickel, at some point somebody's gonna text in, tell that to shut that. You know what I mean?
And I'm okay. Yeah, and I'm tired of seeing that. Because at least, and we talked about this, and we brought Larry and Stafford in. We talked about it with a lot of our loyal listeners and followers, that at least via Twitter, you can put some kind of a contact and handle and recognition where there's ownership behind comments, discussions can be had, and you have to be accountable for what you say. But those text messages and the things like that, you know what? To me, it's like, turn the page, get a life, do something constructive. Because if you have no idea, and that's the way you find fun and enjoyment in your life, you got a lot more issues than worried about what we say on a radio show from day to day in Houston, Texas, exactly. And that's just the way it is. So we have covered that segment, and we are happy to continue it if you'd like and talk about that topic, because it's something that's definitely an issue that is growing, and it's something that needs to be addressed. We also have a big game to address. Actually, as we mentioned, two games to address tonight in the city of Houston, one on the road, one at home. The Astros opening up a big, big series. Seven games left, all at home, starting with the California Angels and Mike Trout and Albert Pujols tonight. That's a big one at the Juice Box. And then on the road at the Big Shaver in Foxborough, Gillette Stadium, the Patriots and your Houston, Texas. Trav's going to break it down for us even further. We're going to have guests coming up as well to talk, at least one guest in particular, to talk about the game and more about the NFL. Adam Rank from the NFL Network. If you have questions for Adam or Trav, come on into the show. Come on out and reach out and touch somebody here in this studio and put your name behind it by either calling or tweeting us. If you have to text, you can, and we'll get to those as well. But be a part of our show each and every day and realize that we're trying to enrich your lives, entertain you, and make sure you realize there are more important issues out there than sports, and sports is a release. But at the same time, we're not shying away from the issues that are at hand because they are real and they are important, and so are you. ESPN 97.5 FM.
Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
One thing the New England Patriots won't be tonight is predictable. We know that thanks to Bill Belichick. One thing that some of our listeners are on the text line is exactly the opposite of Bill Belichick. They are predictable. And for those that have those predictable comments, we say thanks for listening. We'll be here with one show daily from 1 to 4 p.m.
Well, you know, I love it, though. You know, because it's like guys who bought LeBron's jersey to burn it.
Yep.
Bought Kaepernick's jersey to burn it. Bought the NWA albums to run them over. Guess what? You still bought them. You still, the money's already here. We got the ratings. We appreciate it. Thank you for listening.
Right. And we're going to continue to do what we do, because for every one bad apple, there's a hell of a fruit salad that's working its way to the top every single day.
He said a fruit salad. I like that.
So how about that? And here's another thing. We got a text message that I appreciate. It says, Travis, as a 55-year-old white male, I must admit, I've been the I don't see color guy and thought I was doing the right thing. Thanks for opening my eyes to the fact that's not what works. I work and associate with folks of all ethnicities and don't see the issues firsthand. Maybe that's why some of us just don't understand. That is a logical take that we appreciate.
Yeah.
As opposed to some of the others that, again, are from cowardly keyboard warriors that like to duck and run. And that's where we're going to leave that. So let me ask you this, Trav. I don't know what your opinion is of Skip Bayless. I know that I know a lot of people's. I know Troy Aikman's opinion of Skip Bayless. Oh, we can get into that as well. Skip Bayless made a little, shall we say, shot in the dark overstatement that is resonating the wrong way with a lot of people. Skip Bayless seems to think J.J. Watt is not even a top 20 player in the NFL. Your thoughts?
Skip just likes to throw dung on the wall and see what sticks. You know what I mean? Like, he just says stuff to say stuff. How are you going to say the reigning defensive MVP, the guy who's won three of them already, the guy who's won three of them already, is not a top 20 player? Now, if you would have said the first week he wasn't top 20 out of all the guys the first week when he was hurt, but when he comes back and he gives you those numbers, he got. Now, if you're speaking literally on, okay, if I put the first 2 weeks together, there are guys that have, there might be 19 other guys that have had better weeks than JJ. Say that. Don't say he's not a top 20 player, because that's a lie. Because at the end of the day,
you know what? And this is where it's skewed. People look at it from a fantasy football perspective instead of a real football perspective.
You can't.
Here's a guy that can alter, that's what I'm saying. Here's a guy that can alter the game on any given play that is as dominant and has proven it and has been recognized for it as any defensive player, not only in the league today, but possibly as you look into some of the best of all time, and obviously he still has more time where he has to continue to do it at a certain level to get there, but he's proven with the awards that you've touched on that he is worthy in a non-fantasy football sense, in a game-winning football sense in the National Football League. How can you not say there are 20 players better than J.J. Watt?
You can't say there's 20 players better than J.J. Watt.
Someone can. Skip just did.
Skip is a smooth-running idiot.
You know, I mean, I guess you can kind of appreciate it a little bit, just us three being in the industry. There's always that, you know, it's always great content when you have two on-air hosts that kind of disagree.
So it's shock, essentially, but he's a shock jock.
Yeah, but he keeps doing it. Like the Tim Tebow thing, that was obviously the big one. But like, you can't just disagree just for the sake of disagreeing. But I just hope that he really believes that, or I hope that he really doesn't really believe that.
Because you lose relevance. You lose authentic. Like, people stop believing.
You lose your credibility if you make a statement
like
that. Statements
like that, people saying, like, what is it that you back up your statement? Name me 21 other guys that are better than J.J. Watt. I'll wait.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, the thing is, too, repetition only solidifies the opinion. So if he continues to be that guy, as you say, the shock jock that likes to throw it on the wall and see if it sticks, Tim Tebow, Troy Aikman stuff, back from his days covering the Cowboys, to what, you know, where Aikman so mad and still so mad at him when he was the beat reporter for the Cowboys covering Aikman that Aikman had a real problem with them Fox making the move to bring him on to Fox Sports 1.
You would be mad if the man called you Michael Sam before.
Yeah, and, he questioned his sexuality, amongst other things, and it wasn't even about what was going on the football field.
That because now you are taking your personal feelings and implementing it. When we do radio, we talk and we give our personal opinions. Mm-hmm. But in the day, our opinions are based on facts or what we want to believe are facts. So you can't sit there and say, what I wanted Shannon Sharpe to ask him is, name me the 20 guys that are better than
absolutely.
Me. Like, if you know what? I don't even need you to do it today. I'm going to let you go home, get you some take-home homework, and I want you to come back tomorrow with 20 guys that are better than J.J. Watt.
And you know why he won't do that? Because he'll be embarrassed that he'll be sold out and found out that his knowledge of the actual game of football, not just from a broadcast perspective or a fantasy football perspective, he'll be found out. People will realize he doesn't have the knowledge he thinks he does or that he thinks others think he does. Yeah. And to get on the Aikman thing again, Aikman came out and didn't hold punches. I mean, he said to say I'm disappointed in the hiring of Skip Bayless would be an enormous understatement. Clearly, Fox President Jamie Horowitz and I have a difference of opinion when it comes to building a successful organization. I believe success is achieved by acquiring and developing talent, respected and credible individuals, none of which applies to Skip Bayless. That's the kinds of opinions you get drawn
from your coworkers.
And then think about it when guys who are already frustrated from his time on ESPN with Stephen A. to translate over to now with Shannon. And the thing is he hasn't let up one bit with these ludicrous throwing stuff on the walls all the time. And people go, you know what? That's just Skip being Skip. It's like Bill Walton on steroids. Walton used to do it during NBA games just so that there could be a point counterpoint. But when he does it to the level that he's done it at, you're like, come on,
but
man.
Bill Walton, everybody knew Bill Walton had like, Bill Walton's like a guy with CTE. Like you just, the stuff that comes out of his mouth, you're sitting there like, all right, when's he going to shut? Or he's like that old man. Everybody got that one granddaddy or your uncle that talk nothing but foolishness, but yet they don't really believe the stuff that they're saying. Mm-hmm. That was more Bill Walton, and it's funny because he'll be the counter all the time, and it's hilarious, you know. But Skip Bayless says stuff that if you want to pay him what Fox paid him, they gave him a $5 million signing bonus. They're paying him around $5 million a year, and for that you to spew that foolishness out of your mouth, that lets me know like this is not you can't take. Anything Fox does serious.
J. Mark says, Skip ruffles feathers intentionally, guys. Come on. He knows he's full of BS. That's why he has a following, and it's ridiculous. But at some point, even the following has to say, all right, enough of the shtick. Enough is enough. We know that you can't possibly honestly feel that way, and everybody sees right through you. And you, as you said, then he loses his credibility.
You lose all credit. For me, Skip Bayless lost credibility when Tim Tebow was a starter, and he swore up and down this guy should be the MVP. That's when I was like, you know what? I literally do not watch First Take anymore, even though he's not even there anymore, because of the stuff he used to come out of Skip Bayless.
Well, and we used to talk about this, and doing radio as long as I have, there used to be the argument that for the sake of good radio, you do a point counterpoint. And for instance, I would say something, I would take one side, you'd take the other, just to generate interest and conversation. But at some point, the listeners are very well educated, yeah, and they're smart, and they see through it.
Yeah.
And yet, we don't agree on everything, and we shouldn't.
No.
But we're going to tell you how we genuinely feel, and we've said that from the very get-go of the show. But when he continues to do the things that he does, when he's working with a partner, all you can do is say BS. You can just say, come on, man. I mean, like, at some point, just knock it off.
Give me a book of facts. Give me a, why do you think this? Give me some inkling of why you would just say this without being true. And, you know, it's funny because Shannon Sharpe, I think Shannon probably just looks at him just.
Sometimes he's got it off air. He's got to be going, what the hell are you doing?
Why would you say that?
Yeah.
Because like you said, our listeners, and I know our listeners, just like a lot of other people listen, we got probably the best listeners out there. And I will say that because we do have the best radio.
90% that don't get it, that don't get the text line, are great listeners.
And I think you respect your listeners by always either speaking truth. Or you, because like you said, we don't have to agree on everything, but when we do, it also makes for a better conversation that we are that we seeing the same things. Because the average fan, when they watch the TV, they still want to know, okay, if the guys who I'm supposed to be listening to, how do they think? Okay, and they say, oh, that's exactly what I thought. Nobody thought Tim Tebow was supposed to be the man. Nobody thinks that that J.J. Watt's not a top 20 player. You can't say that.
Have an opinion, back it up with facts, and then agree to participate in a discussion without hiding behind a keyboard or a rock or a hole.
Yes.
That's all we ask. Because you know what? That's what makes sports entertaining and fun. This kind of stuff. Dialogue, but don't hide behind it. Be a part of our show, and if you're going to be a part of our show, we're going to call you out. If you want to be a part of our show where we actually give you credibility, have a great, great take on text that we can actually repeat because we believe it's genuine and you're intelligent, or you're not getting on.
Exactly.
Otherwise, have some way we can call you out so that people can have a dialogue with you, whether it be by Twitter or phone call with a name. That's what we're all about here on 97.5 ESPN.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Oh, I hope we've infused a little energy into your Thursday pregame. Getting ready for the big game tonight between the Texans and the New England Patriots in Foxborough, Mass., as well as the Astros and the Angels from the Juice Box at Minute Maid. Before the break, we got a little passionate about, and I guess passion might be the word of the day for us, because we've been passionate about a lot of topics today, and I think it's made for good radio. But in our back and forth about Skip Bayless, we omitted the most important thing, which is Skip's actual quotes in referring to the fact that J.J. Watt is not in the top 20 best players in the NFL. He's not first best. He's not third best. If you're just making me rank players, Skip says he's not in the top 20. He's not. Bayless's argument is such a valuable position. If there were a draft right now, general managers would take 19 quarterbacks, including Jimmy Garoppolo, over J.J. Watt. He said, and he continued to say, would I take Alex Smith over J.J.? Yes. Would I take Derek Carr right now? Yes, I would. Would I take Joe Flacco? Would I take him right now over J.J. Watt? Yes, I would. Furthermore, I get all the way to the bottom. Would I take Jimmy Garoppolo over J.J. Watt right now? I would. If that doesn't clear it up for you so there's no misconceptions, people, I'm here to tell you those were from Skip Bayless's lips to your ears. And we're, like I said, we're open to discussion, and Damon wants to do exactly that. Damon, you said you don't necessarily agree with us. You see Skip Bayless's side. What do you got?
Not exactly, but I've heard Skip in this argument before. First, before I say that, I want to give props to Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp because they're tackling some of these issues head on a show like that that a lot of shows aren't willing to do. And I want to give you guys some props, especially you, Mr. Travis Johnson, for speaking truth to power, because there's a lot of shows that precede y'all and come after y'all that their whole platform is based on race and a lot of racial jokes. But when it's time to actually have a racial discussion, they shy away from it. And I know that for a fact because I've tried to call and discuss it, and they've shut me down. But on to the Skip Bayless point, I kind of understand his point, because when J.J. Watt was putting up the 20-plus sacks and getting the Defensive Player of the Year, the Texans were 2-14, 7-9. They're just starting to turn the corner, but I think I kind of halfway understand his point, being that even though J.J. Watt is as dominant as he is and makes the type of plays he makes, it doesn't necessarily impact the games as much as, say, a quarterback or some of the quarterbacks that he probably, or I'm going to speak for myself, that I would take before J.J. Watt. Now, I'm not going to go as far as to say 20 or that low, but I do understand his point in terms of J.J. Watt affecting the game as related to some other positions, namely the quarterback position affecting the game, and taking a list of, I would say, above average quarterbacks before you take a J.J. Watt, because they're going to affect the game more than a defensive end who you can game plan for, go away from, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I'm not going to go as far to say I'd take 20 players before him, but I do understand his point and do feel and believe that there is a slight overratedness to J.J. Watt's impact.
Well, we can go back to the Cincy game. I mean, you mentioned that, Joe, of what he did.
I mentioned it off the air while you were speaking, Damon, because he honestly, and we had this discussion in the break, He can impact a football game. Maybe it's not as much as a quarterback or a running back or a receiver or a quarterback because he has his hands on the ball every single play pretty much. But you look at what he almost single-handedly did in that Cincinnati playoff game, returned the interception for a touchdown, fumble recoveries, you know, was in the backfield constantly so that Cincinnati couldn't do anything. It disrupted their entire offense. You can't tell me, unless you're looking at this from a fantasy football perspective, you can't tell me that this guy does not impact the game,
well,
Trav.
I'm going to tell you right now, Damon wants to take Drew Brees first. Right or wrong, Damon?
Yeah, I'll take Drew Brees first. I'm a Saints fan.
That's a great call.
No, but hear me out. I can't prove that because when J.J. Watt was being like that, the Texans were 2-14. Yeah, so I can't tell you that.
But the Texans were 2-14. The Texans were 2-14, not because J.J. Watt wasn't doing his job. The Texans were 2-14 just because nobody else was doing their job.
The people around J.J.
But here's my thing. I don't blame J.J. for being JJ and for making 20, I will take those 20 sacks a year every year from him. The only thing you can't say is when you pay a guy like JJ, it's hard to build a team everywhere else because it's hard when you have $100 million guy that's not a quarterback to build around him and spread money everywhere else. Because guess what? Normally, if you have $100 million defensive lineman or another player, you don't have $100 million quarterback. So that's really where if somebody could say, oh, that's why they were there because he was making that money or whatever, I'll listen to that before you say, I'm not taking Derek Carr over J.J. Watt. I'm not taking none of these guys over J.J. And I appreciate Damon, we appreciate you calling in.
Don't be a stranger, man. We're not going to cut you off ever.
Yeah. But I don't see none of these guys going before him. If they had a draft right now.
That's what I'm saying. Bayless says, essentially, Bayless's argument is that the quarterback is such a valuable position. If there was a draft right now, GMs would take 19 quarterbacks.
Listen, if there was a draft right now.
He'd go in the top five.
In the top three. It'd be Cam Newton, J.J. Watt, and Von Miller would be the top three guys in whatever order you want to put them in.
No Aaron Rodgers?
He's not playing well right now.
But you know what he's done and what he can do.
You'll still take him at 4 or 5.
Okay.
You'll still take him at 4 or 5, but I'm talking about as far as right now, what you would take, you literally would take, and you probably won't take Aaron Rodgers at 5, or you probably take him at 5.
Antonio Brown. Because
you're going to take Antonio Brown. You're going to take Khalil Mack. You're going to take Anthony Barr. I'm telling you what people, because guess what? No matter how good a quarterback you got.
You got to protect him and you got to have weapons.
You still
got to
protect him. You got to have weapons. And guess what? If I got a boy dog on the other side that's ready to go hunt, he going to go hunt and he going to go get that quarterback. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, these guys are still going to go before. These defensive players are still going to. That's why every year, yeah, there'll be one quarterback go early. But, I mean, I love Alex Smith to death. We same class. But he's not going before J.J. Watt.
Yeah, I mean.
Jimmy Garoppolo's not going before J.J. Watt.
Come on, man.
Brock Osweiler's not going before J.J. Watt.
But, again, that's when
it
gets back to what Skip's really all about, which is just trying to generate responses. It doesn't matter if they're positive or negative.
Right now we're talking about him.
See, that's it. That's exactly right. He's just trying to generate responses. So he's already done his job. This is like when Rob Dibble went out there and said that Jose Altuve was on steroids. He didn't do it so that people can question the ability of Jose Altuve. He did it so that people started talking about Rob Dibble and realized this isn't a washed-up major leaguer. This is a guy that's got his own radio show that's probably fledgling along and needed a little pub.
No question.
And then all of a sudden it was on everybody's lips across talk radio and across the country.
For you to say Altuve's on steroids.
Geez. I didn't. Rob Dibble did.
But that's what I'm saying. But for him to say it, it's absurd. Like, you see, like, if you ever been, like, my 8-year-old is bigger than Altuve.
Height-wise,
muscle-wise.
I don't know about muscle-wise. With your vitals back when you were 9 and 10, I'm not going to argue I haven't met your son yet.
I'm just saying, I'm exaggerating. I'm giving the little Skip Bayless, but I'm just like, come on, man. Like,
you know what it shows more than anything else, Trav and Nick? Because we are fraternally kind of family-oriented, and Skip's in the family, and Dibble's in the family. We showed him love. We brought him up. We also pointed out quite eloquently, I think, just how idiotic they can be.
Yeah.
But they're part of the fraternity of broadcasting people, so we'll let it go.
Like a coach I had once, Mickey Andrews, he's a smooth-running idiot. All of them. Smooth Running Idiots.
Nick, see if at Smooth Running Idiot is taken. It's not too late, brother.
Still working on my Twitter handle, man.
All right. Well, look, we want to know what you think, and we want you in on the discussion. We've had plenty to talk about. We got plenty of topics, and we're still going to break down even further the Houston Texans and the New England Patriots. We'll have a guest along the way from the NFL Network who will also help us to get an interpretation on the game tonight and their opinions on the team down on Kirby. If you want to join us, 713-780-ESPN. You can text us or you can call us, as Draymond just did. And by the way, if you haven't seen what Shannon Sharp said in terms of all the different things that he said since he's been on with Skip Bayless, go check some YouTube because there's some pretty good stuff there. Shannon's doing a nice job finding his niche there after leaving the CBS studio booth. And if you want to tweet us, you can get us at PacManJoel with a K. You can, in between calisthenics, get Travis Johnson at TrapJ99. Right now he's doing some shoulder shrugs. He's putting his headband on his leg warmers, and he's thinking about emulating Flashdance with a maniac dance during the commercial break, which is scaring me as his moobs decide to dance for me. Only if you had video in the studio, Nick, the listeners could see what I am uncomfortably experiencing right now.
Is there a name for that dance, or is it just like a shoulder shrug dance? I don't even know what that is.
There's no name for the dance. I'm getting my Terry Crews on, like the All-Star game. You remember when he came up to hit the
bat? Yeah.
If I was at the All-Star game, I would have took my shirt off, and I would have had just as many ladies going crazy for my shirt off.
Only Terry Crews can get away with that. What a fantastic dancer.
Nick, I have the answer to your question. You know what that's called?
What?
The Moobie Gibson.
The Moobie Gibson.
That's the Moobie Gibson. That's the dance that we're looking at right now that, thank goodness, the listeners cannot see. Because sometimes the gift that keeps on giving has given enough without giving visuals to something that really would be something that you could not erase from your memory.
Check me out to the beat.
It's really has the beat of a grandmother at a wedding at 71 years old.
Where's Facebook Live when you need it?
Yeah, that's... Wow. He and his smooth, scintillating moves is Travis Johnson. I'm Joel Blank. Nick Schirra behind the glass. Plenty more coming. ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Travis Johnson, and Nick Schirra with some good spirited conversation, and the text messages back it up. People seem to like the fact that we're not afraid to at least dabble in and try and tackle some of the issues, but we're passionate about whatever we say, but we also, at the end of the day, are not holding grudges because of it, because at the end of the day, it is, in this case, just sports. In other cases, it is society. But at the same time, we're all entitled to our opinion because, as I've told you guys many, many times, opinions are like buttholes. Everybody has them.
And most of them stink.
And there you go. That's the way we do these things in a teamwork situation, because that's Peaches and I'm Herb. And we're here for the duration, at least till 4 o'clock. Salt here, Pepper there, Spinderella behind the glass. And Nick, you were saying that we actually had some quality text messages that you would like to touch on. So take it away, my friend.
Yeah, let's take a, we'll start with here. Here's one guy. There's at least 10 quarterbacks that he would take over JJ. No good quarterback would go 2-14. Dez Bryant would go before JJ. Any thoughts on that?
No, he won't.
Dez Bryant, you're talking about.
No, he's not. Because in the
if
day,
you're starting a franchise, you got to have someone to throw him the ball.
Exactly. You're not taking a – that's the reason why receivers are going a little further down in the draft. The reason why running backs are going a little further down in the draft. And the reason why defensive linemen and quarterbacks, yeah, they still stay up there, but you still got to have – you can't have a receiver with no quarterback.
Had an interesting take. And Nick, ask the question like you were going to ask it, and Travis had a really good answer.
Oh, like when you know when the Texans had a defensive prospect like Jadeveon Clowney right in the draft, would you draft a defensive prospect like Clowney who was coming out of college with that much hype, or would you get a quarterback?
No, me personally, I've said from day one, and if somebody could ever go back and find the archives, I always said I wouldn't have took Clowney with the number one pick. I'd either took Khalil Mack later on because of the style of defense, for one. For two, it wasn't a big of a risk to have Khalil Mack in, as your outside linebacker. Two, I would have actually wanted to trade back into the top 10 a little bit further back and not have the number one pick, which would have gained you more picks on the back end, of course. But I thought we should have took Jake Matthews out of Texas A&M at the time because I said he won't go past 9. And I think he ended up going 8 or 7. You know what I mean? I said he won't go past 9. You start him. You bring him in. He is your right tackle to play along with Dwayne Brown. And when Dwayne gets older, guess what? You move him on over to the left. And then with the second round pick, you take Derek Carr. And everybody was like, oh, you're crazy. I'm like, dude, Derek Carr, have you not watched the tape on this kid? This kid is the real deal.
Did the Texans even show any interest?
The only reason why they didn't take Derek Carr was because of David Carr. Because of his last name, there's absolutely – that is the only reason why, because they couldn't afford another nightmare like David was. Some people say they didn't want David's dad around either. Bottom line was, as Trav said, if you look at the tape, no comparison between the two.
No.
And Derek Carr has proven it. If you would rather have Xavier Suafilo than Derek Carr, that's on you.
And not just that, though, but we had an O-line here. And if you would have added what I said in the first round, if you would have added a guy like Jake Matthews to play your right tackle, then, yeah, you wouldn't have Newton. You wouldn't have paid Newton to be your right tackle. But you would have had a solidified offensive line. Think about when he got here. The offensive line at the time would have been, if we would have taken Jake Matthews, we would have had Jake Matthews at one tackle. At the center, you would have had Chris Myers.
Right.
At the other tackle, you would have had Dwayne Brown. Mm-hmm. At one guard, you would have had, my boy, Smith, last name Smith, 74.
Yeah, he's doing a whole bunch of...
Doing radio stuff now.
Wade,
I apologize, brother. You'd have had Wade at one guard.
Wade Smith, yeah.
And then you would have had Ben Jones at the other guard. You know what I'm saying? So now you're sitting there, like, that's a pretty solid offensive line.
Pretty stout line right there.
To go with a good young quarterback to now all of a sudden, then you got a pass rusher to go on the opposite side of Whitney Mercilus and Khalil Mack. Now you have true outside linebackers. You have your JJ. You have your guys. And at the time, you got Arian probably stays a little bit healthier.
Gets a lot more yards with
that offensive line. So I mean there was a method to my madness, but you know the problem is they couldn't get over the fact that it was Derek Carr.
By the way, good text message senders are our producers because Robert, thank you very much. Just said Jake Matthews went 6th overall, so that's what we appreciate.
I appreciate it, yeah.
When you come with some knowledge,
yeah.
And you even put your name with it,
yeah.
That's the kind so of he went, that we
so
appreciate.
He went six overall.
There you go.
So you literally could have traded back because the NFL guys.
I like the Khalil Mack pick. Khalil Mack would have made a huge difference.
It would have made a huge difference. But I mean, you literally it could have happened.
But people shied away from that because they said he didn't play at a big school. And yes, his tape against Ohio State was fantastic, but they didn't see enough of it to believe that he could do it at the next level. But Boise proved that.
But here's the thing. Is a couple people asked me, a couple scouts asked me, because I trained Khalil getting ready for the draft.
Oh, really?
I trained Khalil, Anthony Barr. That same year I had K'Wan Short. I had all them guys.
Keenan, with Diggs.
So,
Trap with all these other guys. What the heck are we doing? This is fantastic.
So literally, they was like, how good is he? He's the real deal. The kid's explosive. He's not a big body, but he's very explosive, plays with great leverage. The film didn't lie about this kid. Like, the kid, the Ohio State film, that should have spoke volume.
Ooh, boy, it was impactful, to say the least. He was wreaking havoc.
Exactly. And this is from a small college. This kid has zero fat on him. Like, he is a workhorse. Saw him literally, he was working day in, day out.
So you worked out all those guys.
Oh, yeah. Keenan had Diggs at
Maryland.
At Maryland.
Right.
And I was training guys getting ready for the draft.
So that gives me a lot. What can you guys do with Nick?
Nothing. Can I get three medical red shirts and a red shirt?
And yet you still would keep hope alive? That's all we're trying to do at this point.
In order to get him drafted, I would need 3 medical red shirt years, regular red shirt year, and then let him play another 4 years before I might be able to get him
And an easy tag for a Whataburger so you could put some weight on the kid.
Yes.
That's what we need. Hey, what do you need, David? We want you in on the conversation. You want to talk about draft picks? And
hey, what's up, man? I was the one that texted about Dez Bryant. I just wanted to know like Travis, you know, he said that he needed a better quarterback. And I wanted to know, like, where would you put Dak Prescott? Because, I mean, right now, I mean, in my opinion, yeah, I mean, he needs to work. But, I mean, to come in as a rookie and not knowing that you're going to start week one and then start week one, I think he's showing out right now, honestly.
Well, let me ask you this before we, David, before we get to that, because you, Wentz and Prescott are definitely showing up. But let me ask you this. Are you a true Cowboy fan?
Die hard.
Okay. Are you a romosexual? Are you turning the page and you're ready to anoint Dak Prescott the next quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys?
I mean, I like Romo, but, I mean, he's never going to do anything, ever. He never did. He never will.
So you're no Romo.
I think Prescott, I think they just need to do away with Romo. And I think Prescott can, I mean, he might not, he probably is not going to take them to the deep in the playoffs. He might go round one if they make playoffs this year. But I think if they work with him and stay with him, I think he can be later on down the road. I'm not saying, you know, he's just going to jump into a Super Bowl, but I think later on down the road, he's going to be a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Travis Johnson, your thoughts?
Well, I like, and David, I appreciate the call. I like Dak Prescott in school as far as the things that he was able to do at Mississippi State. I think when it came time for draft time, a lot of people questioned his leadership. One, he got whooped down there in Pensacola.
Off the field issue.
And I think you kind of question leadership and say, how does your offensive line let you take a vacation by yourself and get beat up on your vacation? But as far as on the field play, he showed me a lot of versatility. He showed me great poise when he was in school, even when he came back for that last year. I still take him where you took him. Because he wasn't a surefire thing. And the simple fact is that you're having a good year right now. That's saying one thing. Like, imagine right now if somebody could have told you, you could have took RG3 in the fourth round and got the first year you got out of RG3, but he would turn into this. The RG3 we know now. Would you have still said he was worth a number one overall, a number two overall pick?
And you gave up, didn't you? You gave up picks to get him.
You gave up picks to get him. So, you know, I like where they took Dak Prescott. He was a good value pick. He's a guy who, even if he wouldn't have never become your starter, he's a great backup. So I like him exactly where he went. I wouldn't have took him any higher. I wouldn't have took him any lower.
David, thanks for the call. Don't be a stranger. That's the kind of takes that we like because they fit right into a quality discussion about sports, which is perfect on a Thursday afternoon. Getting ready for football tonight, football the rest of the weekend. That's why he's Travis Johnson. I'm Joel Blank, and we are here talking sports Monday through Friday, 1 to 4, ESPN 97.5.